and gentlemen, welcome to Wrestling Art with Chris Things.
Do the hammer lock.
To another edition of Wrestling Art with Chris Things. I am Chris Things, your host, your friend, your Wrestling Art dude, and I'm back here with another match of the week edition here. We will have more of the Wrestling Art Curator editions. So more about that later. And I'm very excited about this match of the week. We've got an excellent old man battle, grumpy old man duel of wild and violent proportions between Genichiro Tenryu and Reki Choshu from the ill-fated, short-lived World Japan promotion of Choshu's. Great stuff, and I'm very happy to have my dear friend David back on the show to talk about this one. David's my buddy who, you know, we used to live together back in the day. We used to live nearby one another after that, and used to have a many good night of, you know, watching wrestling, having some beers, you know, seeing some weird old arty movies from time to time. But then David moved on to the UK for a bit of a, you know, trying something different in life. I honestly do miss him a lot, but, you know, getting to do this kind of thing on the show like this is really nice. You know, it's really good to be able to connect, and you know, it's kind of like you have that person right here next to you. So I think that's a big part of why I do this show, or at least why I do the format of the show with this match of the week kind of thing. Getting an opportunity to kind of like talk to various different friends and just have a little chat, and you know, you guys get to listen to it, I guess. So that's a bit of a selfish endeavor, if I'm being real, but you know, it's fun, and hopefully that fun translates. I don't know, I'd like to think that you guys you know, have a bit of a smile or a laugh sometimes when you listen to this thing. But either way, bloody get on that match, watch if you haven't already this Reki Choshu Tenryu match. Best way to find it, just search the title of the show. I think it's on in some different places. I think it's been a long time since there was official channels to be able to watch this in a legal manner. I'm not advocating breaking the law, but I would highly recommend watching this match. More about that later. In the meantime, what's going on in the world of Chris Things deal? I almost forgot to tell you guys, we had a big winner announced for the You Draw the Match of the Week competition. It was such a hard decision. Let me tell you that I was, as I spoke on previous episodes, I was just wowed by the different approaches and the variety and skill involved of a bunch of the different entries, but the big winner was Takeiro Chela on Instagram, or Nieto. I hope I'm pronouncing that a little bit right. I don't know, you never know these things, but he did the best version of that Osprey match with Danielson, insofar as doing each of these guys as beer bottles, or a beer bottle versus a can, a celebration of cervezas. I don't know where the inspiration for this came from, but I was honestly stoked on it, and I just love the creativity so much. But Yeah, thank you so much, Nieto. You've got your prize coming out to you in the next little while. But again, thank you to everyone who took the time to enter. Yeah, I think we'll maybe do another one of these in the next little bit. But I hope you had fun more than anything. After that, I'm now back from my big old trip down to Melbourne for those Lucha Fantastica shows I spoke about last week. Now I've got this big solo show that I announced last week, the sequel to Los Luchadores versus Cowboys de la Muerte, the big old spaghetti western B-grade schlock fest that we had happen last year at Scratch. We're doing the part dose. Like I said, I think there's a little bit of pressure to make it live up to the first one. But that's always the challenge of a sequel, you know? And I think at the very least, even if I'm not, I don't think it's healthy necessarily to be, you know, trying to live up to as good as or whatever like that. The way I'm treating it is I had a lot of fun with the concept element of the show last time, and I think people had fun with it, you know, from a viewing perspective too. And I think there's a lot more juice, a lot more like ideas of different artworks and illustrations and stuff that, you know, I'd thought up last time, and now I've gotten that back in that mindset. I'm sort of just watching all of the spaghetti westerns. I'm super stoked for it. But also it's a bit of a challenging time sometimes, you know, trying to be in this real creative zone where I basically have like a week where I'm just making art like nonstop. That does, you know, have to take attention away from other sides of your life a little bit. I think it's a balancing act, and I don't think I could do this on an ongoing basis all the time. Badger, hush. Sorry, Badger. Badger had something to say there. I think I could do this all the time. Every now and then I think it's good to just go into like hyper focus. So at least, as a ADD head like myself, and just do all of the things, make all the things. So that's what I'm doing right now. I'm submerged, and I'm getting it all made, and I've got some fun stuff that I'm excited to share with you guys. We'll see how it goes, but I think no matter what, it's gonna be a fun little old time. So if you are in the Brisbane area, please come on down to Scratch on the Sunday, the 2nd of June. It's an Arvo sesh where you just get to come along, have some tasty beers if you're a drinker of such things. Maybe some pizza from Rivaderci a couple doors up, and enjoy yourself some Chris Things art. I think it's going to be a great time. And then also this Saturday I have the Handmade Markets, as I mentioned last time, at the Whale Hall, Whale Mall, maybe? I think so. So I'm going to be doing that at the Museum of Queensland in Southbank. So looking forward to meeting everyone there. Other than that, I've gotten back to posting some more of these Way of the Blade lookbacks. I was on a bit of a kick where I was, you know, talking about each one as I, you know, come across them on this show, but yeah, I figure if you guys are interested, you can read my little write-up, but the last one, so good, I almost forgot how much I love the ridiculousness of the King of the Road match. Incredible stuff. Just, like I said, unnecessarily dangerous in all of the best ways. Big fan of that match. Alright, I think that's got us all caught up here. I always really enjoy just getting to sort of talk to you guys directly like this. Sometimes it gets a bit wandery, and that's just how conversations go sometimes, you know. Hopefully that's not too annoying for you. Anyway, I think we're just about ready to talk a little match of the week. Goodness. Okay, I have a friend, I'd say my best bloody mate in the whole wide world, on the line to talk the match of the week, that being Riki Choshu versus Genichiro Tenryu in a battle of surly, grumpy old men that I'm very excited to talk about. Welcome to the show, my dude, David.
Hello, good morning, or good night, wherever you're from. It's morning here, night for you, I suppose.
Afternoon for me.
Oh, afternoon, nice. But man, this show, or this match, Tenryu against Choshu, fucking loved it. I love just the opening. You had the whole feel of it within like 7 seconds of it opening.
Oh, yeah.
Just slap, slap, punch. And you're just like, oh, you dick. Oh.
And you told me you watched the whole show. I only watched I only had time to watch the main event and then that amazingly bizarre sounding Kensuke Sasaki versus Big Vito match because I'm preparing for this art show. But please tell me about your thoughts of what the rest of what you consumed here,
mate. I actually thought you sent me the link and you're just like, watch this. It's, you know, I've never heard of it before. And then because usually my exposure to wrestling just comes from your house, drinking a little bit, and then let's sit down and watch a show of some obscure wrestling.
Yeah.
And it came on and I was just like, oh, fuck. Okay. Like, I haven't seen this. This looks kind of interesting. First match was like a rookie match, mm-hmm. but was so intense, actually so good. No idea who the wrestlers are, but just two young guys. Because it's like down the bottom, I didn't have it in English. And then I was like trying to look through it, trying to find the names of it. And I'm pretty sure I could just Google them now. But like really intense match. And then the guys displayed themselves really well.
This would be Nobutaka Araya and Takashi Uwano.
Oh, apparently. Yeah, no idea who either of those are. I'm going to be honest with you. But, like, as I went through the show, you saw wrestlers back in their youth, and you're just like, oh, you were speckled in here. You were peppered in here. That was really nice. Like, there was Ishii on the show. There was a pre-orange Honma. Ooh. Yeah, in a tag match.
I can see that on here. He's teaming up with his old tag partner, Kazushi Miyamoto, the Turmeric Storm.
The Turmeric Storm. The name of their team. It was actually really, really good. I really enjoyed it. The Kensuke match. Oh, sorry. Let's go back to the first match for a second, because it ended in the most brutal Boston Crab I've ever seen in my life. Oh, I don't want to, like, you know when you have something spoiled for you, but you still just want to see it?
Mm.
Go watch this.
Yeah.
And then just hold out. Like, it's just the first match of the show. Just hold out for the Boston Crab at the end. Like, it's a great match through the whole thing, but this Boston Crab, he literally just bends him, completely scorpions him over himself.
Roofs it.
And bridges back. The guy doing the Boston Crab pulls a full bridge. And the other guy is like, literally eating his own ass at this point. I was like, holy fuck.
So I guess, I don't know if that's part of the thing of like, so this is basically Riki Choshu's new promotion.
Yeah.
He's left New Japan, took a whole bunch of different dudes from all over the place. I guess Kensuke is his ace that is positioned in this company.
Yeah.
And so I guess the young guys are the ones that he's taken under his wing. I mean, I always heard of like Ishii, for example, was, you know, lot of what he became his sort of like base was all these like teachings from Rikki Choshu. So I guess that's a lot to do with it. But yeah, I'd never watched any of this company either, and only stumbled onto it after seeing like a weird highlight of like Kensuke doing awesome shit, and then reading that like Vader had some matches in this company as well. So it's been a very intriguing journey.
Yeah. So, like, you can tell, like, you definitely tell Ishii kind of took a lot of stuff, or not took a lot of his stuff, but definitely, like, took a lot of lessons from the guys who are in here. So, like, Choshu especially.
I mean, I guess when you're looking at the headliners of being, like, Choshu and Tenryu.
Oh, yeah.
Both of those dudes basically were the basis of Ishii, right?
Well, like, you watch it and you're just like... You could see Ishii growing up. It's like, you know, when you're in primary school, and like, when I grow up, I want to be a... He goes, just like, grumpy old fuck. Like, that was his answer to that question. He's like, I just want to be the grumpiest. He's like, I want to lose as much of my neck as possible. Like, I want to be the stiffest old dude. And you know what? You set out these
days. I mean, fuck, imagine, like, you're basically a young guy who's been doing this a few years, but then you're coming in here, you look at the main event of this show, I guess that input that whole grumpy old fuck thing into him for the rest of his life.
Well, there were so many, like, grumpy old fucks on the show, you couldn't escape it. Like, so the Kensuke against, like... Vito match was like...
Do you remember Vito from early 2000s WWE, by the way?
Yeah. And I don't know, like, if that kind of, like, molded him here a bit, where he was just, like, an asshole. But he, like, goes for it. He puts his hand, like, you know, right at the start of the match, puts his hand out. And before Kensuke even gets a chance to, like, oh, yeah, I'll shake that, he immediately flips it to the bird. Like, he just puts his hand out and then flips it to the bird straight away. There's no, like, oh, too slow. It's just, no, I'm just going to tell this guy to go fuck himself. And there's, like, a little bit of a wrestling spot. And then Vito literally stands up and goes, fuck you, motherfucker. And I was like, what's
the jerk?
What is the point of this? I was like, Vito, please.
I don't know. I assume this is Vito being like, you know what? I got to make a name for myself in Japan. This WWE run hasn't worked out. This is my time. And he's just, I don't know.
I'll tell you what. I didn't mind this match.
I was very intrigued by this. I was a big time big Vito fan back in the day. Back in WCW. He was the one of the Mamelukes with him and Johnny the Bull, and you know, this is before I really knew much about you know, who's actually being pushed or whatever. And on the Brisbane only ever WCW show I got to see in person in Brisbane at the Entertainment Centre, there was a match between Goldberg and Big Vito. And with Big Vito being one of my favorites, I was really cheering for Vito to win that one. Sad to say, he did not.
No, we can't have it all. We can't have it all.
Yeah, but yeah, I was very intrigued by Kensuke versus Big Vito. This was basically ended up being kind of like a middle of the rung SmackDown match, basically. I mean,
yeah, it wasn't.
Kensuke
like...
looked pretty good.
There was nothing, like, crazy about it. Like, it's, you can just take, just imagine two people getting their best shit in. But it was good. I think it went together quite well. Like, both of them obviously, like, quite different styles. But Vito brought the intensity that Kensuke wanted, I think.
Mm-hmm.
The two melded really well in the ring. There was no, like, missteps.
I guess it helps that Kensuke's used to working like a little bit American style. Like,
yeah.
And all the WCW stuff that he did back in the day and everything.
Yeah.
Can I ask, did you watch the Road Warriors match on this match show?
Against Todd and Mike? Yes, I did, Chris.
Do you remember Todd and Mike as the Dick Brothers?
Yeah. When I saw them, I was like, I had to squint and look really close to the TV. I was like, hang on. Because, like, when they tagged out, I looked away from the TV for a second because I was, like, making a coffee at the time. And I was like, wait, did that guy just tag in and tag out straight away? Because he's, like, his twin's back in. And I was like, holy fuck, no. But, oh, it was so funny. But, like, again, just, like, another just fun match. Like, I really enjoyed it. You get the best. There was, just get the best out of both worlds, really. But so many power slams.
How were the Road Warriors? Because this is basically real the tail end of the Road Warriors right before Hawk dies. What? I think he died, like, either a couple months after the show or something.
I think at this point they'd well and truly stop giving a fuck. They're just like, just throw the guy. Just hit him. It was still, like, a fun match. But then, like, you know, Todd and Mike, they're like, you could tell it was, like, you could tell it was the early 2000s. Everyone's coming out to, like, there's Alien Ant Farm at one point on the show. Like, Annie, are you okay? This someone's interest.
Amazing. Underrated song, might I say.
Matrix had just come out. Everyone's just, like, angsty. Everyone's got flames on their pants. But, no, it was a good match. There's, yeah, power slams all around. Todd and Mike went over. Which I was so
funny. Really?
Yeah. I was like, who are these guys? And what right?
Would not have called that.
Yeah, I was like, what right do they have to go over the Road Warriors? But, no, it was, no, it was fun. Like, all the matches on this show were just fun.
Maybe Ricky Choshu decided that the Shane brothers were going to be his new Road Warriors in World Japan, and you know, to make a new Road Warriors, you have to be the old Road Warriors. So perhaps that was going on here. I don't know.
Mm. Yeah, the Shane twins, love them. Definitely got to watch more of them. big disclosure.
Anything else on the show before the main?
Nothing really of note. Like, I think my favorite match, going back and looking back at it, was probably the Ishii match. I think that was actually quite fun to watch.
Yeah,
lots of intensity.
Well, that makes sense. And Yoji Anjo, he's a former UWFI guy.
Mm. Oh, really?
Hmm.
Oh.
I think he might have even been the one that went over to America and got fucked up by one of the Gracies. You remember hearing that story where he went to the dojo and called a fight and got not good things happen as a result?
No, I didn't hear about that. Actually, I might have heard about that. I'm just very out of the loop lately. But go on. What happened to him? What happened to the boy?
Yeah, he got fucked up by Hickson.
Oh, no.
Well, I think he wanted to make a name for himself. He went over to California, wherever it was that Crazy Dojo was, and he came into the dojo and was like, hey, motherfuckers, I'm bringing Japanese pro wrestling pride and UWF turf wars to the Gracie Dojo here. And they're like, Hickson isn't here right now, but we'll call him up. He doesn't live far. And then he came, safe to say, Yoji Anjo got fucked up pretty bad. And the worst part was that he took a bunch of Japanese journalists and photographers with him.
Mm.
So they documented him, the aftermath of him getting his ass kicked.
Oh, poor boy.
So didn't quite work out the way he'd hoped.
Oh, well, can't have it all.
But eventually, you know, we had Sakuraba defend the pride of Yoji Anjo and UWFI when he finally got his big win over Hoist.
Mm. Yeah, rolled that guy, the Gracie Killer, my man.
Fuck yeah.
So this Tenryu and Choshu match, Chris.
Oh, boy.
I'm just going to say I loved it. I absolutely loved it.
So did I.
Just, yeah, as I said, like 7 seconds in, it was just, they're just like, you know what? Because they had a match the previous year.
They had a match on the previous show, actually.
Yeah, and then, oh, yeah, so previous show. So where it opened with, like, a punch to the face, and it was just like, holy shit. So Tenryu just straight up punched Choshu in the face. And then, like, you heard the audience go off. And then 7 seconds into the show, it was slap, slap, and this punch hit again, and the whole audience just felt it. The whole audience was like, oh, that's what we're going for here. Like, just instantly reigniting that. And everyone's just like, everyone's been rewarded for coming back and watching this second kind of heat of it. And it was amazing.
Dude, I loved it so much. It was, it's a funny one because they had their matches in the, I think, 90s and like 93. So it was like 10 years prior to this. And they had those like a couple amazing matches, like interpromotional kind of ones back in the day when war was getting up and started. Mm. And then, so they came back. Choshu starts his new promotion. First ever main event of their big show at Ryogoku is him and Tenryu. And I watched it just prior to this one. And I was a little bit sad to say that match blew. Like, that was not very good. I don't know what happened. It was just a weird kind of, like, pacing and tempo and just didn't, like, click. And it went, like, a long time and it just kind of, like, yeah, it was one of those ones where the finish comes and everyone's like, oh, that was the finish. Oh, okay, that's yeah. Weird. But, so it's almost like from watching that, I was almost not going to bother with this one. But I was like, oh, well, I'll bloody give him a go. Let's see how it is. And I was so glad that I did. And it's almost like they had something to kind of make up for the last one being a bit of a stinker. Mm. Because they were just like, just incensed to just beat the shit out of one another this whole time. I love the thing as well that it sort of starts out like Choshu's wanting to like be a bit more methodical. Like, he wants to, you know, have a bit more of a, like, wrestling match. And the whole time, Tenryu is just like, nah, motherfucker, let's go. He's just slapping him, punching him.
Oh, it's just, like, keeping the intensity up for the whole thing. But I just don't understand, like, because they're not young boys at this point. But the intensity throughout the whole match.
Both in their
50s, yeah, but the intensity throughout the whole match. Like, to be able to keep that up. And then to actually feel like... Like, you're watching it and you're glued to the TV because you're just like, these guys are actually going to kill each other. Like, they're hitting each other so hard. They're doing their moves just, like, so, just, like, ruggedly. They're just like, they're going to get to the point where they're just going like, no, I'm sick of this. You're fucking copying this. But, no, it was, like, it was so much fun just seeing these guys just, like, two big boys slapping meat. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's just like in the surliest, grumpiest old man fashion possible. Mm. It's like two dads just having a dad fight, you know, like that South Park episode with Randy Marsh.
I didn't hear no bell. No, because we've watched a fair few Choshu matches together and a fair few Tenryu matches, but I think this was definitely like one of the most intense they've ever had together. Like, this one, for me, takes the cake on... Yeah, this one, for me, takes the cake on, like, how rough they were with each other. And I loved it.
I think the length of it really adds as well, because it's, like, sub-12 minutes. I think the whole match is only, like, 11:30 or something like that. But, like, just start to finish of that 11:30, like you're saying, it's just, like... escalation in like violence and hatred towards one another. Yeah. There's some wrestling sprinkled in as well, but
no, it's mostly punches just and slaps, it's, dude. It's mostly so just good. Fighting. Like, and I'm completely here for it. Like, I loved it. Just any kind of impact and the raw. Like, this is one thing I love about kind of this era is they just run out of the corner with clotheslines and they're not looking to make that clean impact. They're looking just to like clock them over the head or clock them in the body or just run into them with their like their arm just outstretched. And there was like three or four in here where they just clock them square in the ear.
Dude, there's one that Choshu does it. Oh yeah, where he like hits him off from the side kind of thing, these like lariats and clotheslines that just look like they're just, it's like you're just beltering a dude with them, you know, just breaking him down with these clotheslines. It's not like a clean bump kind of clothesline. It's almost like kind of awkward and messy, but that makes it even better kind of thing.
Well, I think it's like I really liked it because that there was that like wearing down concept of it where he's hitting him and then Choshu's not like going down for them. Like, Choshu's not falling over. He's just copping him on the side, but he's at he's taking the daze from it. And then when he does hit it clean is when it makes, like, to me, it makes more impact. Whereas, like, nowadays, there's just, like, you take clothesline and you try and take a flat, you know, you see them taking a flat bump. Or you see everyone trying to take moves cleanly. Whereas you can do things like this. Like, you can give them those really raw clotheslines and lariats, and then they stumble around the ring and they feed around the ring, so everyone in the audience is getting these, what usually would be a center of the ring spot, they're getting them like right on the ropes next to them because they're not clean, they're just out of nowhere, like, oh, I'm going to try and hit him with something, I'm just going to run him full bore, throw my arm out, try and get him over the ear, try and daze the guy. And with the amount of bloody like ear slaps and straight punches they'd take in that match, like, I think it just adds another dynamic to it. It's like, throw whatever you can at the other guy and see what sticks.
Yeah, and the bloody, when they go to the outside after Choshu finally hits him with his big Choshu lariat, and then, but instead of like capitalizing, he like turfs him to the outside in like a move of I guess insulting his honor, you know. And then Tenryu is fucking incensed. He's on the outside. And then it gets, like you said, this escalation. It goes to the next level. Tenryu just starts throwing fucking chairs into the ring. And then eventually Choshu comes out after him. He's like throwing chairs at him. He throws a fucking table at him. Yeah, just like
lifts
a
table from the other side of the barricade. Just like
off to the races.
Just like lifts a table from the opposite side of the barricade. And here, cop this. Like, I didn't even see the table there. He was just like, yeah, here you go. Just like cracks him over the back with it. But
what old man strength right
there? I know, like, but you get a gauge for like the size of these guys when they are actually on the outside, when they are walking around. Like, they're big boys and they're moving around, like, they're moving around the front of the gate. You can see the people on the other side of it. Just like, holy shit, what's going on? And then, yeah, just reaching and grabbing their chairs off them. People just like getting out of the way for them, because I don't actually think that people knew it. You know, when people come into the audience or people come to the outside and you're just like, oh, there's going to be a bit of brawl out here. We might have to move away from the gate a little bit, but there might be this, might be that. But like everyone in the front row was like, oh, let's quickly just move back a little bit, because we genuinely don't know how angry these guys are at each other. Like, they could probably feel the heat coming off the mat.
The best part was it's not like they're doing that thing where they, like, ask the fans to, like, pass them a chair, or, like, there's young boys that are, like, getting them out of the way or whatever. Tenryu's basically, and like, yanking chairs out from people while they're sitting.
Yeah.
For him to, like, smack Choshu. And then it just, like, turns into, like, a bloody hardcore match for a bit, where in the ring he's just beltering the shit out of him with these chair shots.
Like, it's great. But you watch, there's like one point where he reaches over and grabs a chair, and someone's purse is still attached to the chair. And the guy is like trying to reach over to grab the purse back off him. And someone just like, one of the ring attendants just sits back down. And he's like waving his hands, clearly like, oh, we'll get it for you. And then Tenryu swings the chair. Oh, sorry, Choshu swings the chair at Tenryu, and the purse is still attached. Like, the purse is still on the chair. And I'm like, these guys are just reckless. But like, that's it. Like, it's just about devil may care, throw everything else to the wayside. Like, I just want to hurt this guy.
Yeah, you know, that's like weirdly become one of my favorite things in wrestling of late. Like, just with how sort of safe and responsible a lot of wrestling is these days. When I see shit like this, that's just like outlandishly irresponsible and reckless.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just like, fuck yeah. You go, King.
Yeah, pop off, King. Yeah. I think that because of how raw it was, it brings back that kind of dynamic of people just throwing moves at each other. But then they do it in such a way that, like, there's a build to it. There is another gear there. It's not just, oh, we're just wildly doing stuff and that's the whole match. There is wrestling in there. But they build to it so well. It's just, like, they're brawling. They're, like, you know, taking each other down a peg. the getting angry at each other, and there is the animosity there, but it does end on like a really good wrestling note as well.
Oh, man. I mean, a note about that, like sort of with the actual, there is wrestling there and there is really good stuff. One of the things that I noticed through all of this, like all this wild and craziness, old man violence that we're talking about, and these slaps and punches and gruff shit. But Tenru's selling, like he almost, he does like a bit of that kind of like Kawada, like delay kind of like after they have like a scrap kind of interaction.
Yeah.
Tenru had this amazing ability to sell where he just kind of like looks at him and he like kind of like, you know, touch his face or kind of like an acknowledgement kind of thing of like, you motherfucker, that hurt. I'm going to kill you next
time.
Yeah.
Well, that takes us back. So takes it back to like the lariats over the side of the face. He would like hold his head, hold his ear, like, oh, that dazed me a bit, that got me a bit. But it's not as if he's out of the fight. Like he's not just suddenly going like loopy or his legs are going silly and he's, you know, leaning against the ropes or whatever. He's taking a hit from a big guy who's, you know, one of his signature moves is this huge lariat that he hits. But because these ones are so like undirected and not like the clean one that he usually hits, this is, it's just like a big strike. And then so Tenryu's selling it. Like I've always loved his selling where he just kind of, he shakes stuff off, but he holds like, oh, that has affected me a little bit. And he takes himself down in such like 1% at a time, like it wears away at him 1% at a time. But he's still able to get up. And it's only when he's at that like bottom 20% is he like, he really starts selling. So it's not just like they're building up the intensity of the match, like by what they're doing is they're building up the intensity of match as they're selling.
Yeah, I think it's got an excellent, excellent build. And it like has there's a little bit of subtlety, like we're saying, and like a bit more realism, I think, with the selling and just the acknowledgement of the things. And I don't know, it's just got a great feeling of like a actual fight because of that, I think. And can we please talk about just how great and interesting, like, visually both of these guys are? That was, like, a big part of me, like, when I picked this as the match for me to, like, draw.
Yeah.
Just, like, do you get two more interesting-looking cats than these dudes? Like, between Choshu's, like, stubby, short, but, like, freakishly thick body with this delightful little snazzy mullet.
Such a smart mallet.
And then Tenryu with this amazing, like, Tenryu's massive, like, strong old man melty candle physique is, like, one of my favourite things.
Yeah, it's like your dad was, like, a bricklayer for his entire life, and then now he's still got, like, the strong frame under, like, you know when people were, like, wearing a suit and he's like, that guy's clearly huge. But then they take it off and it's just like, well, you were huge, but, yeah, someone left you out in the sun.
It's almost like his muscles kind of melted, but they also calcified at the same time.
Yeah.
So they're just kind of like these stones that he has inside him.
Mate, I wouldn't actually be surprised if he was like part rock golem. The guy is hard as fuck. He's like the amount of chops and the amount of lariats he's taken over the years. I wouldn't be surprised if his like muscles have just been compounded and pressured into being just like, he's just got diamonds under him. It's just got diamonds instead of muscles now. But like, like these guys are 50 and still putting on like the intensity of this, like, which is so incredible.
It's crazy.
This podcast is sponsored by Monarch. Lifesaver.
Game changer.
The best thing to ever happen to my finances.
The people have spoken. Monarch makes personal financing a breeze.
Monarch is an intuitive, powerful, collaborative finance app that can help you save, budget, and keep your financial life in shape.
With Monarch, I can see my account balances, transactions, and investments in one place, so I always know what's going on with my money.
Whether you're saving for your first home, thinking about starting a family, your own business, or planning for retirement, Monarch is here for you every step of the way.
Gain clarity, confidence, and peace of mind with Monarch and manage your finances more effectively. See what thousands of people are saying about Monarch, the app Wall Street Journal voted the best budgeting app of 2024. Collaborate with your partner or financial advisor at no additional cost. Get a 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/podcast. That's monarchmoney.com/podcast for your free trial. monarchmoney.com/podcast.
I think the best part about this was, like, I was so went in with, like, low expectations for this, which I guess is probably the opposite of a lot of people, because a lot of people would be like, you know, like, Tenryu and Choshu, like, two of the all-time, like, you know, first ballot Hall of Famers, incredible careers. But after that last one they had, it was like, oh, yeah, let's just see how this one goes. But, yeah, I mean, there's just something so fascinating about them, watching them in their golden years, just, like, going at it harder than most guys that we see in their prime today.
Yeah.
And then the whole bit of, like, from when they get back into the ring and had that incredible, like, strike exchange, which I've learned now, I think all my favourite matches just have a good, you know, slap-off kind of part. Where we're just some big beefy slaps going back and forth.
Yeah, this is the part after Tenryu's trying to get in the ring, Choshu just keeps knocking him off just over and over again.
Yeah. It finally gets
him. Yeah.
And then we have just an incredible exchange and then just a series of brain busters, meaner and dirtier than the last until eventually Choshu's done.
Yeah. This, like, with the strike exchanges that were going on, the intensity of them was consistent throughout the whole show. Like, there was a massive kind of theme here of people just, like, slapping each other, but really hard. Like, really throwing everything they have into it. And then I don't know whether they had something really to prove on this show, but it just, like, every single match had that in it. Every single, but it doesn't, it, under no means did it take away from it. It was just like, oh, this is actually quite cool. This is actually quite intense. Like, they've come here to add more of, like, a fight theme to it, like a really kind of stiff theme to it, which I'm all about. I love. But yeah.
Oh, for sure.
It was great.
I guess a part of that is also sort of establishing a new promotion, you know, like, because this is their first ever Korakuen Hall show. I think the second ever event in the history of World Japan.
Yeah.
They didn't last all that long. I think they lasted a bit over a year until the sponsor pulled out and they you know, called it quits.
Yeah.
But, man, this show, it's exactly as you're saying. Everyone seemed to... I mean, I didn't watch the other matches, but, like, just something to prove. And especially in this main event, it just seemed like these two old dudes just had something to prove. And and I think they did.
What was, like, what was the match that was on before it? Oh, the Omori match.
Oh, yeah. How was that?
That was actually really good. Like, hip attacks for days.
Shiroko Shinaka, baby.
But, no, it was really good, really intense. There was, like, a bloody nose at, like, right at the opening of the match. Like, they were just hitting each other in the face constantly. Yeah, there was a bit of blood coming out of the nose on Koshinaka's part. But no, it was really good. But that being said, that not a single match in this
I
didn't enjoy.
Watch that.
Not a single match on this show I didn't enjoy.
That is amazing.
Yeah.
Do you know the one thing I'd heard about All Japan, I mean, World Japan, is that they were sort of generally, like, it didn't last very long and most of their shows were quite disappointing. But I'm very happy to hear that maybe that's not quite true.
Yeah. Well, no, I enjoyed it. I really enjoyed this. Like, I think the main event definitely surmised the whole show, where it had intensity, had the aggressive strikes, ended on some great little brainbuster exchange there that we spoke about. and then, you know, Tenryu just being an absolute dick. And then there was, like, the little fight that happened just after the match as well. But
keep it going, baby.
You know, I'd be up for watching more of this. I'd be up, like, you know, obviously it's done and dusted now, but up for going back and watching, you know, watching my way through it. Because there's still like a year's worth of content there.
Dude. Yeah, and there's some interesting stuff on the future shows. One of the future ones that I'm very intrigued by is one of the last matches of, I think the only match that Vader ever had in World Japan. It was Vader against Don Fry.
Yes, I did see that actually when I was scrolling through the history of it and all the matches. Yeah, there's Ichiro Yaguchi on one of the shows.
Oh, yeah, Onita's boy.
Yeah, Otani's on the show.
Sick.
As well.
Big fan like, of
there's
Otani.
Heaps of appearances. But yeah, there's like, there's obviously like the a very intense, like all the wrestlers that you see coming through here are quite intense wrestlers. There's no like flowering around it. There's just these guys have come here to kind of fight, throw brainbusters, hit each other as hard as they can, lariats for days. But you know, sometimes you need that in wrestling. Sometimes you don't want the bells and whistles. You just want two dudes to hurt each other.
Two sluggers. Two old man bruisers.
Two sluggers. Two battlers. One drinking Guinness, the other one drinking cider.
What more could you want?
Yeah. What more can you want? Well, more of this, but unfortunately it's gone. It's done.
Apparently, you know, the last, what I believe to be the last show in the history of this company... It lasted up till 2004, so we went from March of 2003 up till June of 2004. So they made it a bit over a year.
Good 15 months.
Yep, last ever show ends up. Main event of Bad Boy Hito, Gentaro, Kentaro Kanemura, and Mr. Ganesuke. So basically like the Dirty Deathmatch boys against Ichiro Yaguchi, Riki Choshu, Takashi Uwano, who was the in that early match on the show, and Ishii. Interesting stuff. What a...
Yeah.
I'm intrigued by World Japan. I didn't think I'd end up watching it.
But... Well, I'm interested. So on that same show, the match before that was Koshinaka, who I've actually started like really liking lately.
Oh, dude!
Like he's put on some great matches. Koshinaka Omori versus Mammoth Suzuki and Mr. Ganesuke as well. So he's like back-to-back matches.
Damn, FMW boys.
So Mr. Ganesuke goes from the semi-main into the main. But that's the same. So Gentaro's in one of the earlier matches as well, and then he's in the main event too.
Did half the guys so just not turn up to this show?
I'm interested to watch these. I'm wondering. Or is there kind of, I don't know, just because I'm just looking at the list at the moment, but I'm wondering if there's a theme going throughout it, whether there's some kind of feuds to finish off at the end of the night.
Who knows?
But either way, I'm excited to see. Either way, I want to watch through and see what happens here. See what kind of dumbfuckery pops up that forces half the roster to suddenly appear in the main event.
Holy shit, on their anniversary show in Tokyo, this one caught my eye. We've got the original Tiger Mask, Satoru Sayama, against a young Katsuhiko Nakajima.
Oh, yeah. I scrolled past that. I did did pop my fancy a little bit there.
Pop that into my veins? Shit.
Oh, yeah. Go on. Take a direct shot of that. So let's talk about the art that you've made for this.
Oh, yes.
Chris. Let's talk about your illustration for this.
Okay.
So we've got the back of Choshu and the front of Tenryu, and you can just see the chunky back. And I don't know whether it's sweat or they're melting, but I feel like this.
Por que no los dos?
But I think you've captured the glorious little backside of the mullet. Captured Tenryu's tight, beautiful curls there, and the standoff as well. I think if you'd tried to pick any like mid-move here, it would have done a disservice because I feel like this encapsulated quite well. The match in itself is two dudes standing off against each other, not giving either one an inch. It takes it right down to the wire. But yeah, this is great. And just
thanks, dude.
You got the intensity in Tenryu's eyes as well. As he stares down Choshu.
Tenryu's just got the most interesting expressions through the whole match. So I tried to capture little bit of that. This actual moment was during that last slap and punch exchange that we were talking about in the match when they got back into the ring. And actually went through it on almost like a frame by frame of like that whole like sort of like back and forth of like the different like chops and punches and like reactionary little bits. It was a tough choice, to be honest, of the different ones for the reference image for it. Because there are some like really great ones where it was like, it was mostly, I think this one ended up being kind of like a reaction from Tenryu after Choshu like slugged him pretty good, and it was almost like what we were saying, that sort of like little acknowledgement of that little like, ooh, alright.
Yeah, like now he's got to get his hands up, like now he's got to start defending himself, because that one was like, can't let another one of those through.
Yeah.
But it's like, if you look as you're watching the match, you'll notice that, yeah, they are on quite equal footing going through the whole match. So there's no real one point you can pick where it's just like, oh, here's where you can feel the intensity of the match, or here's where you can feel it. I think it is perfect in this standoff.
Thank
that
you.
you've chosen to illustrate, Chris.
Oh, I appreciate it.
It looks really good.
I think a key part of it as well was that it sort of got to show off a little bit of that bizarre Tenryu physique that we're talking about too. I definitely want to draw more Tenryu. And a quick question here. The Tenryu hair, do you think that's like natural, or do you think that's like a Jerry curl kind of situation that he would have done before every match? Like, he's got the curlers put in, he goes to the salon.
Well, Chris, I want to give an answer, but I also think if I say, oh no, that's not real, I'll have like the Japanese version of the FBI knocking on my door saying like, shut up, like, you take that shit back right now, like, this is the second most heavily guarded secret in all of Japan. Is his hair natural or not?
You'll have the Yakuza on you for sure.
Exactly. I was like, oh, I don't want to. I want to believe it's real. I want to believe the most he does to it is maybe put some hairspray in it before he goes out.
Ooh, nice.
But that's it. I every fiber of my being wants to believe that those curls are real.
I was thinking about it, and I don't know which I would prefer, because it is quite great to think that just is natural. But I also think it's equally great to think that he's spending the time going to the salon, having some vacuous chats with the ladies in the salon while he gets his hair did, you know, before every match. It's kind of cool too.
Well, I want to believe this is the reason why he is the way he is. Like, every other Japanese person has like straight dark hair. And he was a young child, and he was the only kid with curly hair, and he got bullied, and so he just became rough. Like, he just hardened him, turned him into absolute nails.
The curls,
and then now you see him today. Exactly. Like, he had no choice but to grow up on the mean streets of Straight Hair Town. As the only kid with curly hair, like, he had to defend himself.
Yes.
Turn himself into one of the greatest wrestlers of all time.
Love it.
Yeah, I want to believe it's real.
All right.
But I still want to believe that, yes, he has these chats with hairdressers as he gets, like, his hair foiled.
Well, he definitely gets the foils done, I think.
Yeah, 100%.
Oh, and Choshu, too. Choshu looked like he had some sweet highlights in this match, too.
I reckon that guy just drives a convertible with the top down constantly. But, like, one of those comedically small convertibles. Like, he's driving a Stingray, and he's got top down. He just looks way too big for the car that he's driving. He's got his girl in the side who's taking up like 1% of the seat space because he's taking up the other 99. Yeah, and it's just the hair through that mullet is what keeps it so fresh.
I mean, there is a chance it's natural sun-bleached highlights, you know, because I reckon Choshu is definitely a man that's not shy about getting a tan.
Oh no, he definitely rocks up to the beach in a G-string, and no one says anything.
No, the banana hammock G-string too. He's definitely got the.
That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah, no one says anything. Everyone just nods and go, yep, that's completely normal. Go about your day, move out of the guy's way, or he'll hit you.
I reckon he would have, like, unruly enormous balls as well.
Huge balls.
Yeah.
The biggest.
Yeah.
That's what this is about, actually. That's what this feud is about. This is like, who had the harder upbringing? A guy who just wanted to wear... like budgie smugglers on the beach, but it was always picked on it, so it became enormous, so no one said anything, versus the guy who had curly hair. And this is just the culmination of who's harder, who had the most difficult but bizarre upbringing.
Tremendous. I feel like we've really added something to the Choshu versus Tenryu feud analysis that you're not getting anywhere else here.
Well, like, I can't speak Japanese, so I'm only assuming this is what the commentators are saying while the match is going on. You know, you got to make up your own story, and you got to get yourself into some things when you don't speak the language. And this is the one I'm sticking to.
This is true. This has always been our thing, I feel like, you know, no matter what we'd watching, we'd at least create some sort of great imaginary narrative to make it a bit more interesting. Or when we were watching our first ever game of roller derby, and we created a whole set of really interesting rules to make sense of it, that apparently none of which were true.
None of them. Like, we were, because we made up these rules, and we're like, yeah, the scoring exactly how we said. All right, yeah, we've got it. Yeah, okay, that makes sense. No, this is working out perfectly. Yep, the score's going on the board as we're seeing what exactly we've said is happening. And then, yeah, your partner at the time, Courtney, skates up. She goes, no, none of that. That doesn't even make sense. No, it works like this. And we're just sitting there thinking to ourselves, no.
Our version is better.
Our version's better. We're sticking to this. We put all this effort into it. You know, and this is actually the first roller derby game I'd ever been to. So, yeah, it was. Yeah, was this? Because had you been to one before this with Courtney?
I think I'd been to one roller derby game before this, separate with a former a workmate back in my Apple days, because she was derby player. But I clearly had no idea what was going on that show either, so it's not like I'd learned anything.
No, that's okay. That's all right. We live and we learn.
We do.
Unless it's roller derby, in which case we don't learn. We take your reality and instead substitute our own.
I think there's something to be said about willful, blissful ignorance. You know, if the things aren't exciting enough, just create your own reality. What's wrong with that?
Just add your own story in. But you can do the same on any one of these matches, guys. Go out, watch them, think of some silly story, put it in. Pretend the commentators are just as excited about it as you are. So all in all, this was actually a really good show. I was really happy I watched the whole thing. So originally I was going to skip straight to the end, but then I saw there was a young boy match on, and I just think, yep, young boys. Just two dudes, worlds in front of them, whole lot of energy. And they just go as hard as they possibly can. They got something to prove.
And young Ishii was that when he had the flat top hairdo?
Yeah, yeah.
Nice.
Oh, slick back a little bit, I think.
Oh yeah.
Oh no, might have been a flat top. Yeah, it was odd seeing him young and in white tights too.
Ooh.
Yeah. No, a lot of those matches were good.
Well, I'm happy to hear it. This was mainly a freak show match that I just enjoyed. And when I did my little write-up about it on Instagram, I was like, caution people, because I'm like, I could see a lot of people saying, like, or thinking, like, technically, this was not what they would call a good match. But I think I'm in the stage of watching wrestling where it's like, I'm not looking for stuff to be, like, technically proficient. I'm just looking for it to be done with heart. And and I'm looking for the weird shit. So this definitely had both of those things.
Well, that's, like, all wrestling's ever been to me is, are you invested in it? Is this entertaining you? It's like, it's that simple. Is this something that you would go, yes, I want more of this, or no, I'm not enjoying this? And it's up to the wrestlers themselves to go, this is something I do well, so I'm going to do this. I'm going to turn this aspect of myself to 11. I'm going to put it on display. And if people don't enjoy it, then they won't enjoy it. But there's no point in trying to constantly change and shift yourself to appease others. Some people will really be into it, and that's how you become, like these guys are, like the some of the greatest wrestlers of all time, is they've got their brand, they stick to it, and then occasionally they'll get put in these matches where someone just reflects it so well, or you add to it, like adds to that kind of aspect of your personality so well that the audience gets into it as well. Whether it's two guys like this who have similar wrestling styles, but locking horns, and then you're just like, which one is better? Like, who's coming out on top of this, essentially? And, you know, you can have all the flashy moves in the world that you want. You can have people doing backflips, you know, 630s off the top, which are, of course, fascinating and amazing, but that's, like, that's their brand of wrestling. If you're entertained by that, go and watch that. But if you're entertained by wrestling meets, like, an intense fight, like, where you can see that these guys have something to prove, not to the audience but to each other, the audience will be drawn in by that. The audience will be entertained by that, because there's a lot of people kind of pander to the crowd and do the, like, yeah, let's hear it, come on everyone, clap for me. Like, these guys are only here to wrestle each other
and punch one another in the face
one another in the face. And then, and like, again, like, it comes out in this in the illustration that you've drawn as well, where the two dudes are only looking at each other. The rest of the audience is blacked out, because to me, the rest of the audience in this doesn't matter. They're only there for each other. They're only there to kind of hurt each other, prove something that, that, like, they're the alpha bull in the pen. And then, but the audience gets drawn into it as well. They feel the intensity. And that's, you know, that's what wrestling is do you feel this, like, are you feeling this match? Are you enjoying it? Why are you enjoying it? And just, like, if you can sit there and ask yourselves these questions and then just, like, see the wrestlers you see doing what you want to see, and just Google more of them, Google more of their matches. And occasionally you'll see them wrestle a match against a guy. You go, oh, I like that guy too. That was a really good reflection of the other guy too. These guys have a lot of chemistry. I'm going to watch some of his matches as well. And you can just float along like that and enjoy your time wrestling. And then eventually you'll go, I want to see the build-up to this match. I don't just want to see, oh, yeah, here's this match with two really good wrestlers. I want to see the story to it, or the road to it. And I feel like there's going to be some bad matches here and there, or some not-so-great matches here and there. But by the time you get to the end of it, you're going to turn back and say, that was a really good use of my time. I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, and sometimes, mm-hmm. like this, you know, you get through something that might be a not so great match, but and on one hand you might be like, oh man, I kind of wasted my time watching that, but then you go that next step and you watch this, and like I was saying, it's like that previous one made this even better. So it's sort of like that road that you're talking about, when you really get into these wrestling nerddom rabbit holes and you're like, just go down and invest that time into it, it makes the payoff all the more satisfying. So, you know.
Well, that's it. That's exactly right. It's an investment, and then you want a payoff at the end of the day. But in a sport that's as volatile as professional wrestling, you might not get that payoff. But that's the gamble you take in enjoying something like this, is everyone wants that dream match. Everyone wants, like, the perfect match. But the point is, you'll never have it. You'll just have something that just comes so close where you actually lose sight of it, and you don't care about the perfect match that you want. You're just genuinely happy, like genuinely happy watching this thing, and you forget about everything else. You're just watching some great wrestling. And then at the end of it, you go, oh, wait, I was actually looking for this, but I forgot about it because I was just really happy watching.
Yeah, I think that is a great way to put it. And
just enjoying it.
On that note, I've so, like, from watching this one, it's, like, reawoken my love for Tenryu. I mean, it's not like I ever stopped loving Tenryu, but, like, you know, you watch other stuff. Tenryu's been retired now for a little while. And I'm like, oh, boy, I think this has reignited that love for, specifically, I think, 50s Tenryu. I think this, you know, early 2000s run is one of the greatest grumpy old men runs of all time. I mean, I'm thinking now, like, that classic that he had with Kenta, where it's a perfect battle of, like, surly old man versus young punk fuck who's just gonna not show any respect whatsoever.
Yeah.
So I think we've got some Tenryu matches to look forward to, potentially more so in the match of the week. We'll see how we go.
Yeah, well, I'm definitely going to go watch that Tenryu versus Kenta match tonight. I was actually thinking about that.
Yes.
I was like, oh, these two guys on equal footing are taking up against each other. What's one dynamic we could add to this? And just a guy who's just as intense, but with not as much, like, nowhere near as much time under his belt, but he does not give a fuck. And it's Kenta.
He's like, the flame to the dynamite.
That's it. He is. He's but yeah, exactly. Stuff like that. Like, if you want to watch wrestling with a bit more intensity to it, where there's a bit more of a fight in it, this whole show has it. This whole show has it, and then it culminates in this match, in this Tenryu and Choshu match. I think it's just a really good reflection of the whole show.
Yeah, and I'm just really stoked that it's like I think the undiscovered gems are something that are a lot more satisfying to watch than, and obviously I love, like, you know, the Kobashi, Misawa Kawada, like, you know, all of those, like, greatest matches of all time that everyone raves about, you know, but then there's something more satisfying about finding stuff to where it's like not many people have much to say about it, and it's just like you kind of find it and you're like, man, this was bloody something, and I don't see anyone else talking about it, you know.
No, well, that's it. But it might just be that people, it could just be that people didn't get through the show, or people could see that there's like, oh, the promotion didn't do so well, therefore the wrestling must not have been so good.
I imagine a lot of people probably jumped off after that that first show at Ryugoku that you know, didn't light the world on fire. They probably watched that one and were like, "Oh, that's enough of World Japan for me."
If
you stick it out, there's some good stuff to be found.
Yeah, exactly. That being said, I also want to watch the final show where there's half the card is now in the main event.
You can see they run out of money by that point. The sponsor was gone. They're like, all right, guys, we're just doing the best with what we have. We got to get through this last tour.
All right, everyone's going to wrestle all the matches, but just wear different masks. All right, everyone turn the gear inside out. You're a different person now.
Why not?
Yeah, why not?
All right.
That's good stuff.
This has been a lot of fun. I still am like, man, there's more World Japan I need to watch. I'm just going to be scouring these cage match cards for the next little while.
I did see those, actually. Yeah, I did see those advertised. I want to give a couple of those a watch throughout the week.
We'll see what they're doing. This show was hard enough to find. I messaged you initially where I was like, so the only copy of it that I found was on, like, this porn site.
Yeah. That's good, because, like, on my phone, when I move it to TV... On the phone, it will go to the smaller screen, so the rest of the website's open.
Yeah.
So I've got it sitting there on, like, the armrest, and I have my partner sitting next to me as well while this is on the TV. And then she's just like, David, what are you watching? I was like, oh, wrestling. It's on the TV. She's like, no, what's all that stuff around it? I was like, shut up, baby. You know what this is.
Yeah, the other like previews, it's like not just like any porn either. It's like hardcore like anal and shit. Like yeah. Hilarious.
It was just like the ads that are around it. And Sandra's just like looking at my phone for a second. She's like, okay, all right, okay. I was like, yeah, it's two birds, one stone. Same website, I can have it all.
Just again, and it makes it even better. Like this is perfect. Like you said, the sacrifices we make for wrestling, hey?
Yeah, that's it. Oh man, having to trawl through that, you know. Oh, we get further and further from God's light every day, Chris. I swear. Some people just need to pick up a fucking Bible. Oh,
we clearly need more baby Jesus in our lives.
Yeah, y'all motherfuckers need to find God. Oh. Still my favourite Kanye response. Find God. Please.
Oh, boy.
All right, mate. Yeah, this has been real fun.
All right, you got to get to work?
Yeah, I've got to start getting ready. Got another renovation to do tonight. Oh, or today. Gosh. Yes. This will be my sixth one this year. So, God's slamming them out at the moment. Thanks, brother. All right. You take care. It's been a lovely chat, Chris.
You too, bud. Thank you for coming on the show. I appreciate it.
That's all right. That's all right. Anytime. I'd love to give a quick shout out to Crocs.
Ooh.
I recently bought a pair. Comfy as hell.
Was it the thing where you originally got onto them in like an ironic way and then you're like, these are actually delightful?
Well, yeah, I just wanted something to wear around the house, but I hate slippers because they constantly come off the back.
Right.
These little bad boys have a little sports strap.
Ooh, how about that?
So there we go. So the irony has turned full circle into love.
Shout out to Crocs.
Yeah, shout out to Crocs. There we go. Can't wait to get some little gibbets to put on them.
Right. Get some stickers or something to go on there, maybe?
Yeah. Ka-chow.
Heck yeah. All right. Thanks, my dude. I'll talk to you later.
Thanks, mate. Talk soon. Bye.
All right. Love you, brother. Bye.
Love you.
Okay. That was a lovely one. A little bit all over the shop, but that's just, you know, my friendship with my best mate, David. So a little window into that for you. I don't honestly know whether that makes for good podcasting, a good audio listening experience or not, but either way, there you go. I had fun. I hope you guys enjoyed, got something out of that. Maybe you too can go down a bit of a Genichiro Tenryu watch rabbit hole. If you're a big fan of some old man punches and brain busters and chops, why not? Surly old man goodness. It's a time for me to give some thanks to the great team at Social Suplex for allowing me to do this show. Socialsuplex.com, got a whole bunch of other rad wrestling podcasts. If you want some more to add to your plate, why don't you check out some Keep It At Strong Style, a New Japan podcast, or One Nation Radio, All Things Elite, Imps WWE Adventure, the Trish and Sarah podcast, or Tunnel Talk. All right, I think that one has been my official best recalling of all the other shows on the network. I've been quite proud of myself because I purposely do not look at a list of them. It's all by memory. So a little pat on the back there for me. Also, if you would like to check out more of the Chris Things, the art, I hope you're already following on at Chris Things on the Instagram. If not, you can get on there. You get to see all my different art things, my Way of the Blade lookbacks that I'm doing at the moment. My upcoming show, as we've already discussed. Also christhings.com.au, the place where you can buy prints, originals, all sorts of stuff, and you can, you know, read a bit more about the works if you would be interested in such things. I am, just so you know, I am currently teeing up our next curator guest, where I talk to the other wrestling artists about their practice. I know it's been a little while, but sometimes these things aren't the easiest to line up. You know, people have lives. So I'm very enthused about this. I think we've got some great chats coming up. And I hope if you guys out there, you know, on from the aforementioned competition, if you guys are feeling, you know, at all inspired to make some art of your own, some wrestling art perhaps, bloody do it. Even now that the competition's over, please. I'd love if ever you're, you know, doing some wrestling drawing, you know, tag me, mention the things, and yeah, I'd absolutely love to see it. Or send me a message, whatever. I'm really enthused to see everyone's creative and endeavors and art and whatnot. And, you know, if again, from the sort of competition vibe, if I'm playing any small part in making you guys pick up a pen or a pencil or a paintbrush or whatnot, I think that's just great. Well, thank you so very much for listening. I appreciate your time, and yeah, this has been a fun little one, and I will see you next time.